This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Celeste Quinn. In this portion of the program, the story of a woman who was a political prisoner during the regime of Saddam Hussein. Her name is Mayada al-Askari, and her story is told in a new book by Jean Sasson. Jean is the author of Mayada, Daughter of Iraq, One Woman's Survival Under Saddam Hussein. The publisher is Dutton. Mayada, good afternoon. Thank you so much.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
You come from a very distinguished family. One of your grandfathers was the first true Arab nationalist and, in fact, admired by Saddam. How was it that you found yourself a political prisoner?
Well, to start with, this happened in 1999.
Right.
I own a printing shop. I used to own a printing shop, and there were political leaflets anti-Saddam leaflets that were distributed in the same place of the my shop, and I was arrested. They thought that whoever had a shop there for printing contributed to those had something to do with them.
So
and that's how it happened.
Yeah. So you were just doing your business as usual?
But I was falsely arrested, accused, because I had nothing to do with them. And I don't think any of my neighbors had anything to do with those leaflets.
Yeah. How did your views of the regime change over this period of time? First, there was a plea for help from a neighbor, then your arrest, and then the aftermath of that arrest.
In the beginning, in 68, when the Ba'athists first came to power, nobody really knew that this would happen, that all this bloodbath, the arrests, the killings would take place. But slowly they expanded their power and their grip of the place. And after that, the Iran-Iraq War took place. In 88, the regime used chemical warfare against the Kurds, and obviously, if it weren't the Kurds, it was someone else, or some people else in Iraq, because the Kurds are one part of the Iraqis. So the regime started eating the people up, really, so to speak, and it was terrible, and people were arrested all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How many women were arrested and tortured during the regime?
Well, I don't have a proper number, but obviously they were a part of society, and they were a very vital part of the society, and there was no discrimination between men and women in Iraq. We had, equal rights, so to speak. So we were very much treated the same. Even in under detention and under arrest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cell 52, what was it like?
It was a little cell that was barely enough for eight people. It accommodated 18 women, including myself. It was very small. It had a terrible smell because, people were crammed into there. And people were terrorized because... down the hall, there was this torture chamber, and women were taken constantly, being tortured and brought back to the cell. So you'd think that your turn comes next. And the minute you hear footsteps out the door, the door being approached, you'd think your turn has come soon. And, of course, you hear all these screams and the people being tortured. You see the woman when they are thrown back into the cell, tortured using electricity, beaten, raped sometimes, all the works.
Yeah. Mm. You say there was some comfort in being with other women.
Of course, because, we took care of each other.
Yeah.
The minute one of them would return really injured or beaten up or electrocuted, the other woman helped her. Like there was once this young woman, a young girl, really, she was a pharmaceutical, she was a student of pharmacology. And they had used electricity. They had tried to electrify her in a way that was terrible. And there was smoke blowing out of her mouth. One day they took one woman, and we heard her screaming. She was screaming like somebody, they were dragging the life out of her. And sure enough, she was never brought back. And they came and took her things. They took her slippers away. So obviously she had died under torture. There was this, and then the torture you would hear while standing outside for, when you are asked to be interrogated, you are taken away from the cell. You stand in line and you hear the people being tortured inside the torture room or the interrogation room. So you are constantly terrified.
Yeah, and you are taken in by the police, and
yes,
you're not allowed to contact anyone.
No. There are two things that you are, that anywhere in the civilized world are allowed to a prisoner, to somebody that would be arrested. You have to have legal presentation, and you can make a call to your family, informing them of where you were. These two things were totally a taboo, nothing.
Yeah, so of course you're very worried about your children.
And I'm sure they were worried about me because they had no idea where I was.
Yeah. One of the women that you were in cell 52 with told you, listen, you've got to build a wall around everything you left behind.
Yes, that was Samara.
For now you must think only about saving yourself, otherwise you will go crazy.
Crazy. Out of fear.
Yeah.
Out of sheer fear, you will go crazy because you are so worried about the people outside. You know that you might face death. And you know they are, so much attached to you. For me, my children, I was their life. I was their supporter. I was their mother and father, both. So if they lose me, I can't begin to imagine what will happen to them. They were kids.
Yeah. So you listened to Samara.
I did.
Yeah.
I did, but to tell you the truth, she had it out of experience. She had been in jail for something like more than 6 months for really false accusations that were, somebody losing a passport or somebody changing his identity through official channels and then being captured because he did that. This is a terrible state. I mean, you are under a police kind of a police state, which was terrible.
How did you survive? How did you get out?
Well, there was this doctor inside the prison premises, and inside the hospital, really, that was inside the whole building. And on the first night I was there, I was, there was this minor heart attack, maybe. I don't know what it was, but he gave me heart medicine, and there was a sandstorm. So the examination bed was covered with dust. So I wrote my, our telephone number on the examination bed, and I told him, please memorize this number and call my kids, tell them where I am. He did not say yes. He did not say no. He just looked at the number, and obviously, this is what he did. He was convinced that he should do that, and he did. He called my children. So my children, in their turn, called my mother. She was in Jordan. And she called the number 4 man in the Decker Cards, the General Abdelhamoud, who was the head of Saddam's office. And Abdelhamoud talked to Saddam, and Saddam ordered that I would be released, that I should be released on condition that I do not leave the country, that maybe I'll be called for further investigation if something turns out. So that's how I was released, and I paid money to another another party that was in control of the computers in the borders, and it was very scary. It was I was really taking a very big risk, but I knew if I'd stayed there, I'd be I'd be arrested once again.
Yeah. The doctor was so important. Also, there were people in your neighborhood who helped with the children.
They helped with the children, and they were all alone. and they were young. The shop where where I carried out my business was closed by the order of the secret police. So even if they wanted to go there, maybe I don't know. I had some money there. Anything they couldn't gain access to any of my stuff there. So they were left there without anything. So neighbors came in and left envelopes with money inside for the kids.
But they had to do that surreptitiously.
Of course, but imagine it was so supportive and so kind of everybody.
Yeah. What are your hopes for Iraq today?
I hope things will simmer down, stability and democracy, and obviously a very good constitution because. We have not had a constitution for 35 years now.
Yeah. What are your feelings about the U.S.-led invasion?
I don't call it an invasion. I call it a freedom... it was a freedom
liberation?
Process, yes. Yeah. Operation of freedom, exactly.
Yeah. I wish you and your family the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for talking with us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mayada Al-Askari. Her story is told in a new book by Jean Sasson, the title Mayada, Daughter of Iraq, One Woman's Survival Under Saddam Hussein. The publisher is Dutton.